great golden shape was closing on him. He's probably dead now.
Tell me!
Christy patted the boy on the arm.
Sandman time, Dean. Come on.
Sandman? Who's that? That another enemy, like Skullhead and the Rusky?
Ryan squeezed the boy's small hand in his, and Dean meandered across the room, threw into his adjoining room, and closed the door softly behind him. Good night, son.
Dad?
What is it?
Pharaoh's curse was about the best ace on the line I ever had in all my life. Thanks.
Glad you liked it. Don't think I'll forget it in a hurry.
Yeah. Good night, Dad. Good night, Christy.
Good night, Dean.
This time, the door remained closed. A little later, Ryan and Christy held each other tightly in the great bed and made gentle, tender love. And then slept a quiet and dreamless sleep. Kelly arrived soon after dawn.
Boss Larry'd like to see you, Ryan. In an hour.
Just me?
Yeah, just you.
Christy rolled on her back and stretched, clawing at the cool morning air.
Ooh, did that group of oldies get to see him yesterday?
Mrs. Owen and friends?
The one with that lovely amber necklace, silver cross on the end of it. The one that Doc sent all a flutter.
No, they waited, but Boss Larry was too stoned.
Ryan got up and began to dress, oblivious to the presence of the sec man, pulling on his pants and lacing his boots. He reached for his coat.
You dropped something? Bit of paper? Down by the leg of the bed? There.
Thanks.
Ryan stooped and picked it up, seeing that it was the odd coded message. Bright lances of sunlight came through a gap in the curtains, and for the first time he could read part of the scribbled message.
R5, SN Mex... in our text.
Then there were some numbers. Ryan slipped it back in his pocket, intending to talk to JB about it.
I'm ready.
Kelly nodded.
Craven and his posse stayed in the park last night.
Yeah, so?
Nothing. Let's go see the boss.
Kelly took him to the vast shadowy lobby of Centerpoint, where several sec men were standing around, most showing signs of tiredness. Their body language revealed they were about to come off duty and be replaced by the next shift.
Good time to hit them.
Kelly nodded.
Discipline slipped in the last couple of weeks. Traven's subverted a number of them. Younger men. That's what worries me, Ryan. Seriously worries me. Been a couple of executions for treason in the last week. Hadn't been more than a handful of traitors in the last 4 or 5 years.
Can't you take him out?
Traven?
Sure.
Ryan looked at the elevator, where a shifting light showed that there was a car moving toward the lobby.
Doesn't even carry a blaster, does he?
Could have chilled him when he arrived. Too late now.
Never too late.
Kelly shook his head, unsmiling.
Wrong, friend. Too late when you're in the big hole and the wet earth landing on the back of your neck. That's too late. Here's the elevator. Go on up. Press roof. Boss is up there waiting for you.
Ryan took a step toward the open steel doors, then hesitated.
Something else?
Keep your boy close. Now get going. Boss Larry doesn't take kindly to being kept waiting.
The door slid shut, and Ryan pressed the recessed button with the word roof alongside it in raised black letters. The elevator began to rise smoothly. Already Ryan was starting to sweat. He had never been a lover of intense humidity. The dry heat of the southern deserts didn't bother him, but this sweltering moistness was uncomfortable. With a slight jar, the elevator halted, and Ryan stepped out into the revolving room at the top of the tower. It was dark and silent, with only one guard leaning sleepily against a wall. He straightened as Ryan appeared in front of him.
Yeah? Oh, you're the outlander Boss Larry wanted to see. He's in his workroom.
Where's that?
Up there.
The man replied with a wave of his hand, in the general direction of the back of the vast room. Ryan's temper had never been of the best, but as he grew older, he generally managed to control it, to recognize the first crimson flaring of the fire and extinguish it. Not this time. Without a moment's pause, he stepped in close to the sec man and locked both hands into the lapels of his jacket. He braced his wrists inward and lifted at the same time, taking the man's toes clear off the floor.
Oh!
Asked you where?
Ryan watched the man's face begin to swell and turn purple. Ryan released some of the pressure and let the man down gently.
I'll show you.
As Ryan let him go, the guard rubbed his neck and stooped to pick up his beret, which had fallen off in the brief struggle.
You didn't have to show me the fucking black sleeve.
Try doing your job properly.
Yeah, sure. Come on.
They reached another elevator, concealed in a decorative column at the center of the slowly moving room.
Boss is up there.
Thanks.
The man looked at him for a moment, then turned on his heel and trudged back to his post, fingering the butt of his government model Colt. There was only one button, showing an arrow pointing upward. Ryan pressed it, and the doors opened almost immediately. He stepped in, sniffing at the powerful scent of sweat that filled the car. He guessed that the workroom was hidden in the very top of the tower. The elevator didn't seem to go up more than 15 or 20 feet. Then it stopped, and the door slid open.
Come in, Ryan Carter. I wanted to tell you that Dear Adamers told me to have you chilled.
I like starting the day with some good news, Larry. What else did the little prick have to say?
Boss Larry Zapp was sitting in a huge canvas and leather chair by a long bench, which was covered with a mountain of electrical hardware. Ryan had never seen so much stuff. Circuit boards, wires, plugs, sockets, chips, monitors, and tangles of dusty equipment that threatened to topple and overwhelm even the giant figure of the Baron. And the rest of the workroom was the same. Laser vid screens sat in one corner, oscilloscopes in another. Comp recorders jumbled clear to the dusty ceiling. Another bench with shelves on top of it was lined with thousands of mags and books, all in total disorder. Ryan noticed at a second glance that the two shaven-headed mutes were sitting on each side of the shelves, like a pair of carved life-size bookends. Boss Larry didn't reply. His breath wheezed in and out, and he looked at the small piece of techno gear in his pudgy fingers. Ryan waited.
If that's all you gotta tell me, Larry, I'll be going. Can't waste a nice morning up here.
Yeah. He means it, Ryan.
Ryan stepped a little closer, wrinkling his nose as he tried to identify a strange, sickly odor in the room. Then he saw the scraps of crumpled black and silver foil on the bench, all showing traces of a fine pink powder.
You've been doing dream, Boss Larry.
What of it, Ryan?
Oh, nothing. It's just that Traven gives you dream and then pulls your strings, right?
Zap's leonine head nodded slowly, the disarrayed silver hair covering his face.
Yes, Ryan. But you forget his lovely young friends. They don't care that I'm old, ill, terrified, and fat. To them, I'm as young and spry as they are. Oh, such sweet children, and they make me happy.
The two servants both turned their heads slowly toward the Baron, as though even their vanished hearing had caught something of the roar of anguish. At that moment, Ryan realized a terrible truth. Anything that Baron Larry Zapp had once been was gone, destroyed by the insidious application of dream, combined with who knew what sexual excesses. The whirling little dervish with the pretty clothes that they had met earlier was someone to reckon with, a figure of genuine potent evil. Ryan knew it was time to move on.
Why'd you tell me what Traven wants, Larry?
I thought you'd like to know.
We'll go.
Again, Zapp moved his head.
No, Ryan, no. The sentiment is now. All the ways out are way out now.
I see.
The hidden workroom was quiet. Without windows to see from, Ryan was only just aware of the ponderous revolving of the tower.
Your son.
Ryan wasn't sure he'd heard the soft whisper.
Dean?
Adam likes him, Ryan. Oh, yes. Ryan, boy, that young, that pretty, that's what he wants most.
That was the moment when Ryan Carter made the conscious decision that Adam Traven would have to be killed, regardless of the personal cost and the consequences.
Who's going to do the killing, Larry? You or Traven?
I don't know. I don't care. I don't...
I'm going now, Larry.
You want a radio?
What?
Gift for you. Souvenir from Green Gladesville. Thank you, and come again.
Zap's hands rummage through the morass of gear in front of him, emerging triumphantly with a small black box with a plasglass dial and silver controls.
Here, I found hundreds. Worked on them myself. Still a few in